Praise the Lord for this opportunity to be in His house. I'm certainly looking forward to these meetings. I feel inadequate, but I know that is not the point. The Lord is able, and it's about Him. And so I am thrilled to be here. I know the Lord has already done a work in my heart, and if nothing else happens, the Lord's done a work in my heart. But I am expecting the Lord to do great things and in these days ahead. I do want to just take a moment to challenge us for just a moment what these meetings are all about. If you're like me, you're made of flesh, you're made of clay, and we fight a great spiritual battle. We fight against our flesh, the world, the devil. You work out in this world, it's all around you, and you sense the great spiritual battle that we're in. And so as God's people, we need to have regular times where we come and give special attention to our soul, special attention to the spiritual part of us. You know, we'll spend thousands of dollars on or fixing our body, but we won't hardly do any sacrificing for our spiritual situation. And so these next 3 days are really all about giving attention to what's the most important thing, our walk with the Lord. And if you are like the psalmist, he said, "O God, wilt thou not revive us again? Do it again." And I know the heart of many people here today is that God would revive His people again. Maybe in the past you've experienced that close fellowship and walk with the Lord. But right now you're at a far distance, and the things of the world, like we read in Sunday school this morning in Psalm 73, are appealing. We need to step into the presence of God. And friends, we need to do everything we can to be at these meetings, not to hear me, but to put ourselves in a place where we can expect God's presence to be there. Because if you want to be in God's presence, you're going to have to be in the place where God's presence is going to be. And so my challenge is to make these meetings very serious and be there as much to all of them if you're able to. Think about it this way. Revival is not a real simple, not a real hard concept in the Bible. It's really not. Let me compare it to our physical body. You know, if you were to take the next 2 months and hardly eat anything every day, and every day you maybe just had a small piece of bread and very little water, and for 2 months that's all you had, how do you think you'd be doing at the end of 2 months? You would be in a great need of attention. You'd be sent to the hospital, they'd be putting IVs into you, and they'd be doing everything they could to bring you back to health. And friends, that's exactly where we're at spiritually. When so many Christians hardly have their devotions every day, and if they do, it's just a very small portion, they're not really meeting with God. When the preaching of God's Word is resisted, it just gives indication that our spiritual state is very, very low. And we need to be revived. We need to be brought back to that place of spiritual health. And you know what? I am so thankful. I know that there's many people here who sense that. And they're sensitive. They want that reviving. They sense how the world just has a pressure on them. And they can sense how it's just wearing them down. And things are becoming attractive that weren't attractive when they were back walking with God. And so I trust after these next 3 days, even after today, you'll be back in that place of sweet communion with God in His presence. And the rest of the year can be a year of revival. If you haven't noticed, the theme of this year for this church is revival. You look at the schedule, it's all centered around that. This church is on a mission this year. We are seeking God. And you know what? There's plenty of churches all around here that you could go and you could be comfortable. And if you don't want to seek after God, go join them. But if you want to be in a place that seeks after God and knows God's presence and is doing everything possible to be in the presence of God and to have God in this place, then I encourage you to be here and to seek after God with us, because we are on a mission. And it starts today, January 1st. What a great time to have these meetings, to give special attention to the most important thing in all of our lives. Today I want to look at how we can make this year a year of revival. Whether personally or corporately as a church, what are the steps necessary that are needed to have a year of revival? I don't know about you, but I want this year to be a year of revival in my own life. A year where I see God's power on my life. A year where I see others swept into the kingdom. A year where my soul winning isn't powerless. A year where my prayers aren't unanswered. I want to see a year in my own life of revival. And I know that's pastor's burden. And that's the burden of many in this church. A year of revival. So, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Where does it start? If you're sitting there and you're agreeing, you know what? There's some great, spiritually I'm not doing too well. Where does it start? How do you get to that place of revival in your life? That place where the presence of God is real and you're basking in His presence? Well, first of all, friends, it starts with the desire for revival. It starts with the desire. Look at Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. The Bible says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." Revival doesn't come unless God's people begin to see their own need. Revival doesn't come unless God's people get tired of business as usual. When they get tired of that place where they're just going through the motions of religion. You can be a Baptist and just be going through the motions of religion. You can come to church 3 times a week or a couple times a week whenever it's convenient, and you can do the religious things. But when you get tired of that, that's when you're going to start seeking after God. That's when you're going to say, "I'm done with just religion. I'm done with just going through the motions. I want His presence. I want the very thing that makes Christianity real, which is His presence." When you get tired of an unfulfilling life, I'm telling you, this world doesn't have anything to offer. And God's people are enamored with the world. God's people think this world has reality and what has what really fulfills. But when you come to a point and you realize, you know what, this world doesn't fulfill, this world doesn't satisfy, then you're getting ready to seek after God. If you're not experiencing the abundant Christian life, so many Christians don't know what that is. I don't know that I really fully know what that is. We're satisfied with mediocrity. We're satisfied with just going through the motions. We're not satisfied with the abundant life. And you know what, friends? When we experience that, when we experience that closeness to God and that relationship with God, we don't want what the world offers. We don't want it. It's not even a temptation. When you get tired of fruitless sowing, going out, knocking on doors, everything's closed. Friends, when you are in the presence of God, when you are revived, soul winning is completely different. Because God's power is there. Are you tired of a stale devotion life? Stagnant prayers? If you even pray at all. Friends, that's not the way God intends it for Christians. He intends it to be an abundant life. He intends it to be the Christian life to be a wonderful thing as we are in His presence. You read through the Bible, and those that stepped into the presence of God, their lives were changed. They never regretted it. They were thrilled that they were in the presence of God. And oh, may God's people this year step into that sweet presence of God. Perhaps you're here and you're tired of pretending to be spiritual, but knowing deep down inside there's big, big needs in your life. Friends, when we come to the end of ourselves, when we come to the place where we realize, you know what? What I'm experiencing is different than what God wants me to experience. What's going on in my life is not what God has planned for me. Then we begin to seek after God. But it doesn't begin until we see our need, how we see how far away we are from God, until we see God, until we see how real He is. Unfortunately, the sad thing is most Christians don't want business as usual to change. They're content just to come to church, to go through the motions, because the world has such a grip on their life. that they don't want it to change. They don't want to be challenged spiritually. They don't want to hear preaching that steps on their toes and preaching that challenges them to get into God's presence. They don't want to hear preaching that tells them the things they're doing are wrong. That is the majority of Christianity. Not too long ago, I was able to be at another church and helping out with an aspect of their revival meetings. And after going to those, I was thinking, you know what, if that's what the typical revival meetings are, I don't want to go into a revival work. I was like, this is pointless. There's no expectation. The people come here, they're just going through the motions. The preacher gets up, preaches a half hour, 45 minute message, and everyone leaves. The service is hardly longer than an hour. And everyone's off doing their own thing. There's no prayer meetings, there's no expectation. It's just business as usual. Everyone's casual, comfortable in their religion, glad they're going to heaven. But the rest of their life stinks before God. Most Christians don't want business as usual to change. They're content. They're happy right where they're at, satisfying the flesh. If we want revival, we have to first of all see, we have to desire it, and we have to see the consequences of no revival. This morning, pastor in Sunday school quoted a quote. He said, if we're going to see revival, we have to turn from the poison of the world and the placebo or the fakeness of dead religion and cry after God. Is that you this morning? Is that you, or are you just content? And right now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, boy, maybe I won't be coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night because it's challenging me. It's going to make me think and maybe put pressure on me to change. We have to turn from the poison of the world. Do you realize that the world poisons us? It changes us. It deceives our thinking. And people who start dabbling in the world and getting around unsaved people and spending time with them and doing all these sorts of parties and things with unsaved people, it starts affecting their thinking. It starts poisoning them and pulling them away from their love of God. And we need to get back to that place where we are in God's presence and there's no greater place to be. We have to also see the consequences of no revival. The consequences of no revival. Christianity, without a pursuit of revival, is bound to be powerless and dry. Powerless and dry. It's no wonder young people are fleeing from Christianity. It's no wonder that churches are losing their young people because they have dry, powerless Christianity. They don't know what it's like to be in the presence of God. In times of revival, the key power and worker is the Holy Spirit. If His role is limited or non-existent, you don't have New Testament Christianity, even if you have all the right doctrine. You can have all the right doctrine. You can have orthodoxy. But if you don't have the life, if you don't have the presence and the anointing of God's Spirit on it, a church is dry. And that is not real Christianity. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle, Exodus 39 and 40, Moses was in charge of building it. And after all the building had been completed and everything had been put in its place, the building looked beautiful. And Moses said, this is a perfect, it is done. What's done is perfect. It is the perfect illustration of Jesus Christ. But you know what? The tabernacle wasn't completed just because everything was in place. The tabernacle wasn't completed because all the parts were there. It was completed when God's presence came and anointed it. Amen. And friends, we have religion all across this country. We have churches that have right doctrine, but they don't have God's power. They're not even praying for it. There's a segment of Baptists who don't even pray for revival. And friends, you can have all the orthodoxy, you can have all the right doctrine, but if you're not praying and seeking after God's reviving, your church is no more Christianity than the churches who have wrong doctrine. It's fake. A human body that is all intact and has all the organs and every single part is no good unless there's life there. And man, there's church bodies all across this world, all across this country. They have all the parts, but there's no life. And it's no wonder the world is attracted to it. Why would we be attracted to a dead person? Why would we be attracted to something that's dead? We need something that's living, and it's God. Sadly, most Christians don't even know have the right orthodoxy. But tell me, why would you care to have the right orthodoxy if you don't have the power, if you don't have the fire? Is it really worth having it? Right doctrine and the pursuit of revival go hand in hand. If your orthodoxy doesn't allow for the pursuit of revival, then it is nothing more than just cold, lifeless orthodoxy. Having the tabernacle all completed wasn't enough. It had to have the anointing of God's power on it. That explains why intellectualism kills revival. They are seeking the right doctrine. But if there isn't the life of the Spirit, it becomes just intellectualism. If our seminaries across this land spent as much time seeking God's presence as they do debating the nuances of theology, we would have revival all across this land. Our churches would be filled with preachers seeking God's presence. That's what we need. I dare say, as a church, you know, we're pretty close to right doctrine. I think we are. But friends, if we don't have the life, if we don't have God's power and His anointing here, we're just going through motions. We're simply going through motions. The consequences of no revival is greatly seen in the church, but it's also seen in the home setting. Moms and dads, it is absolutely vital that this year be a year of revival in your home, in your own life. Christian parents who are content with no revival and content not having God's power on their life are the biggest reasons why young people are turning from biblical Christianity. They see in the home something completely different than the Word of God. They don't see unity. They don't see forgiveness. They don't see the real deal. They don't see God's presence. They don't know what it is. And so they turn. We need revival, not only in our churches, but also in our homes. But friends, it starts when we first get the desire. God, what I'm experiencing is not the real thing. I have got to have more. I have got to see Your working in my life. I read recently of a man who had been alive during the revival of 1859. And he gave this account. This old miner said, "When I was a boy, we dug out the coal with chisels. After that came the dynamite. And with this, we mined a much bigger quantity of coal. Till this week," referring to the revival that he had seen, "I have seen nothing but chisel work in religion. But now here is God's dynamite at work." Friends, our church has been doing a lot of chisel work. We get out there and we knock on doors. We do the programs like Vacation Bible School and Kids Club. And we ought to keep doing them. But you know what? It's just chisel work. Unless God's presence is there, anointing it, giving it life. In the home, is God's presence there in your home? Your young people, there's many young people out here. Parents, your young people need you to be revived. They need God to see God through your life. Otherwise, the threat, the challenge down the road is that they'll turn from that very thing. They'll turn from Christianity. They'll turn from it because they won't see the real thing. Mom and dads, make this year a year of seeking after God, a year of revival. If you want revival this year, it's not just enough to desire it and want it and dream about it. You must prepare for revival. The second thing here is prepare for revival. You must prepare for it. Well, what do we do to prepare for revival? First of all, you must deal with that which hinders revival. Deal with that which hinders. Whatever is blocking the channel must go. Deal with sin. That's what hinders revival. Deal with sin. Deal with pride. Whatever it is, deal with it. I think of King Josiah. And I think later in the week we're going to look at King Josiah and the revival there. But if you look at King Josiah's life, you know what was there? Dealing with sin. He stepped into that kingdom and he saw all the wickedness going on and he decided this is going. And he got rid of it all. They wouldn't have seen that revival, the great revival under King Josiah, if there hadn't been a thorough dealing with sin. This includes anything questionable. Remember, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If there's a question mark over something you do, it needs to go. Nothing is a bigger hindrance to revival than just plain old sin. And if we were all honest this morning, there are sins in our life. Everyone has different flesh, but it's flesh. And it likes different things. But we know what the sins are that threaten revival in our life. We know what the sins in our life are that keep God's blessing and God's power on our life. And the question is, are we willing to do a full dealing with that sin? Not just a half-hearted, oh, God forgive me. It was wrong. No, a thorough cleansing from sin. I could stand up here and list them all, but I'm not going to. What are the sins in your life that need to go? The sins in your home that need to go, that are hindering God's power, God's blessing. Consider how sin affected Israel as they conquered the land. God said, you'll win every battle as long as you obey me and as long as you don't sin. And you know what? They took the accursed thing. And there were huge consequences. There were casualties because of sin. God, they had lost God's power rather than experiencing it. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Before revival comes, there's always a departing from iniquity. There's always a dealing with sin. There's always an eradication of that which hinders revival. If you want revival, you must be serious about sins. Christians have to stop playing with sin and all sorts of iniquitous practices. They riddle our church. They are all throughout Christianity, evil, sinful things that must go. Friends, the level or however serious you are about revival, it'll show up in how willing you are to deal with sin. If you're willing to deal with every sin and be broken and humble before God and contrite and deal with every single sin, you're on the path to revival. Sadly, so many Christians aren't willing to do that. When you prepare for revival, you not only must deal with that which hinders, but you must do that which aids revival, that which helps revival. First of all, you must saturate yourself with the Word of God. Any revival that you read about or see in the Word of God, one thing is always true, the Word of God is predominant. Revival always brings people back to the Word of God. It always brings people back to the Word of God. We shouldn't fear revival. We shouldn't be afraid of it because it brings people back to the Word of God. Look at King Josiah's life. Look at Hezekiah. Look at all the revivals in the Bible. And you see people coming back to the Word of God. They find the Word of God and they decide, you know what, this is what we're going to follow. And we need parents, we need dads who step up in the home and say, this is the law of the Lord. And this is going to rule in this home. Saturating the home with the Word of God. Saturating your personal life with the Word of God. We have so many ways that we can do it. We can get the Word of God on our cell phone. And we can be listening to it while we do all sorts of things. We can spend extra time in the morning reading God's Word. But friends, what we need, something that will aid revival, is saturating our lives with the Word of God. Half-hearted devotions just won't cut it. Half-hearted devotions really won't bring on revival. We must saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Preaching. The preaching of the Word of God becomes a center focal point during revival. And if you're resistant to preaching, you don't like preaching, friends, you're the one resisting revival. If you want revival in your life, you have to say, you know what, I want the Word of God, as much of it as I can get. I'm going to read it in the morning, in the afternoon, at nighttime. I'm going to be at every preaching service so I can hear the Word of God and saturate my mind and my life with the Word of God. We need the Word of God. It's a cleansing agent. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. We need the cleansing agent of the word of God to come into this church to deal with sin. The revival on the Isle of Lewis, before the revival broke out, it said that there was a growing hunger for the word of God. People were saturating themselves with the word of God. And when the Spirit of God came, he had plenty of fuel to burn. Because people had saturated their hearts and their lives with the word of God. Something else that aids revival is being obedient to every command of Scripture. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, in your heart is saying, you know what? I want that revival. I want that reality of the Christian life. I want something different than the norm. Then be obedient to every command of Scripture. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been pushing off for a long time. Some command that God says you need to do, something that needs to be in your life, something that shouldn't be in your life, and you've been avoiding it. You haven't been taking it seriously. You need to be obedient to every command of Scripture. King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29 began to follow every command in the Bible regarding the worship of the Lord in the temple. And following the commands of the Lord brought great rejoicing and the blessing of the Lord. It said the thing was done suddenly. What an incredible thing. That's what God wants to do here. He wants people to get serious about the Word of God, to get into the Word of God, to saturate their life with the Word of God, see where it is in their life that they are breaking the commands of God, and take it very, very seriously, and to be obedient, have the heart of obedience. We need the spirit of obedience back in this church. A heart that doesn't resist in pride, a heart that doesn't come back at every command and say, well, there's another way to look at that command and another way to do it and obey it. We need a spirit of obedience. A third thing that aids revival, and if you want revival in your life, you can aid it by being marked by humility. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James 4, the first 10 verses really are absolutely key verses on revival. Dealing with sin. Breaking friendship with the world. But verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Be marked by humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You know what? You won't ever see revival until you humble yourself. You won't ever see revival until you come to that place of humility where you humble yourself before God and you tell God you've been resisting him for a long time. You've been standing up in pride to him, his working in your life, and you deal with your pride. Pride is such a prominent thing, and a whole message should be given to this thing on humility. And how it connects to revival. But we need a spirit of humility. Not a spirit of my own rights and a spirit of resistance. But a spirit of humility that when the word of God is given, it's received openly. That's what we need back in this church. Do you really want revival? Well, you can aid it by saturating yourself with the Word of God. By being obedient to every command of Scripture. By being marked by humility. But also by making prayer for revival a priority. By making prayer for revival a priority. 2 Chronicles 7:14 again says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. If we were to be honest this morning and go throughout this church or just look at your own life, what would we see as far as prayer? Prayer is absolutely key to revival because it shows us how badly we really want it. If you're unwilling to pray for it, if you're unwilling to sacrifice and to seek God in His presence and pray for it, it's just revealing, you know what? You really don't want revival. But when you come to a place where prayer for revival and prayer in your own life is absolutely an essential part of your day, an essential thing in your life, that will aid revival. Personal prayer is absolutely essential. Prayer meetings, as the church calls prayer meetings. Doing everything you can to be a part of those. You know, the men's prayer meetings on Saturday nights have recently gone to more of a focus on revival for this church. And if you're a man here and you really want revival, then you will say, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to be at those prayer meetings. I might get a little less sleep. I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to sacrifice something. But prayer is an essential thing in my life and in your life if you want revival. In the early part of 1904, before the main revival came to Wales, there were a number of churches and communities around Wales that saw God's reviving presence. They saw their churches, God doing things that they had never seen before. People humble and contrite. People getting saved because of revival. But before some of those started, you could go to many of those situations and you could find groups of people who had committed to praying for that church or that community. Pastor read one this morning. The group of young people who were seeking God. If we want revival, we're going to have to get serious about prayer. Praying for it. Not just a few minutes in the morning, but throughout the day, our heart crying out to the Lord for His reviving. Prayer shows us how serious we really are about revival. We can talk all about it. We can dream about it. We can read about it. But if we don't get on our knees and seek God and cry after Him, we cannot. We won't see revival. If this year is going to be a revival year for you, you can't just desire it and prepare for it. You must thirdly expect it. Finally here, you must expect it. What we're talking about this morning is based on the promises of God's Word. He says, draw nigh to Me, and I will draw nigh to you. It is so clear that God is not drawing nigh to this church. When we see more people going out the back door than coming in the front door, it's an indication that God needs to draw nigh. When God comes, He draws people to His place. When God's presence is seen, people are attracted and drawn to His presence. And that's what we need in this place. All throughout the Bible, we see promises of God. And we stand on those this morning. And if you want revival, you have to stand on these promises and get before God and claim these promises and expect them. You know, just like with salvation, when you give someone the gospel and you tell them how Jesus shed His blood for you, and it's simply through faith in Jesus Christ that you turn to Him from your own ways, going your own way, doing your own things, and you turn to Jesus Christ as your only Savior. When you tell someone that and you show them the promises of God's Word, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You expect them to believe it. When it comes to these same promises of revival, we can expect them, we can stand on them just like we stand on other promises of the Bible for salvation. Don't expect revival, though, if just after a short period of time you stop pursuing it. You know, the reality is, and the glorious thing is, you, as an individual, can step into revival. No one else in your family might be doing it. No one else in your family might be pursuing and seeking after God and longing after God. But you can. And you know what? The wonderful thing is fire spreads. And when one person gets into God's presence, it affects other people and draws other people. But you know what? I think it's so important. God has put the theme together, I believe, for this year, for this church, a year of revival, a year of seeking after God. I pray that it's not just one year, But that will start and be a beginning to something that God wants to do through this church. You know, the glorious thing is that when revival comes, it doesn't just stay in here. It always affects the lost. And that's where God's heart is. God wants His people to be right with Him so that the lost all around the world are brought into the kingdom of God. That's what it ultimately leads to. The only thing that can spare this church from going down the path of easy Christianity and following the direction that so many much of Christianity is going is to seek God for Him to revive His work in the midst of the years. Our standard isn't other churches, but it is so clear that much of Christianity is going down a path of easy Christianity. Convenience. Maybe we'll just stop doing Sunday night service because it's not convenient. It doesn't sound like people seeking after God. And friends, if we are going to be serious about seeking after God in this year, we have to cry after it. We have to seek God for it. Does that describe you this morning? Is your heart longing for revival? Is your heart longing for the real thing? Yes, you have salvation, but there isn't that abundant life that God died for you to have. And that's what He wants you to have. Friends, there's three simple steps that I gave this morning. You first of all have to desire. You have to see how badly we need it. In your home, maybe you see the things going on in your home and you realize, you know what, this is all an indication we need God's reviving in this home. But you have to come to a point where you say, I want that. And it doesn't stop there. You have to prepare for it. Isaiah chapter 40 talks about when God comes and what people have to do to prepare for God to come. You know what? We have to prepare for God to come. He doesn't just come and dwell with unholy people. We have to purify ourselves. We have to cleanse our hands. We have to get right with God. And then that makes the pathway for Him to come and dwell with His people. There's no greater threat to the kingdom of darkness and to the domain of its leader, Satan, than a church filled with revived believers. The reverse is true as well. There is no greater aid to the kingdom of God than a revived church. A church whose members desire revival are doing everything they can to prepare for it and in its coming, and aid in its coming, and are standing on the promises of God for His reviving presence. That is a church that is going to see and experience revival. Let's make 2017, right from the start, a year of revival, a year of seeking after God, a year where we aren't satisfied with the status quo, a year where we aren't satisfied with just mere Christianity, but where we are seeking after the fire, where we are seeking after God's power. It's not mystical. It's not magical. It's not feelings. This is reality. And our Christianity is so far from reality that we get scared when we start talking about revival. When we start getting scared about getting into God's presence. That shouldn't scare any Christian. We ought to welcome it and plead for it and seek after God and His reviving presence. 2017, I believe, can be a turning point for this church. A turning point in a good sense, where we say, you know what, we're not just going to continue going down a path of just formal Christianity, but a church going down a path seeking after God on a journey and aren't satisfied until they are in the presence of God. Is that you this morning? Are you willing to make this year a year of revival in your own life? A church is made up of individuals, and individuals have to decide for themselves, what am I going to do? Am I going to stand in the way and resist what God wants to do? Or am I going to humble myself before God and seek after His presence? It's really that simple. It's not complicated. It's simple. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I hope your heart is longing for that, for God's presence, for God to be real in this place. But it starts with us. We have to prepare the way. And are we willing to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the stirring that you're doing in this church. Lord, I sense already that there is a hunger and a thirst, Lord, for you to pour water upon the dry ground. Lord, I pray that you'd help each individual Christian here this morning to be honest with themselves, not to deceive themselves into thinking they're just fine living their Christianity. But Lord, help them to show, help them to realize, Lord, there is so much more that you have for them. And so I pray that you would give that longing to each heart that's here. And I pray that each Christian here would not just desire revival, but that they would prepare for it and do everything they can to aid in the coming of your presence and of God. And then, Lord, help us to stand on the promises of God's word. Lord, I pray that you would make the year 2017 a year of revival in this church, where righteousness is exalted, where sin is despised, where homes are revived, and where young people, again, hear the call of God to go into the harvest fields. Oh God, I pray that you would take away this thinking that going into God's work is second class. There's nothing greater than going into the ministry, going into God's work. I pray that you would restore that. And Lord, it comes when we get into your presence. Lord, would you help us as a church to get back into your presence, to seek after God. With heads bowed, eyes closed, in just a minute, I'm going to ask the piano and organ to be up here, to be playing. And we're going to have a time of an invitation. And it's really very simple. I'm asking you, are you going to decide to seek after God in this year? I'm not talking just about for the next couple weeks. Or I'm not talking about the next 3 days. I'm talking that you are covenanting with God that this year is going to be different. It's going to be a year of seeking Him. Not seeking the things of the world. Not seeking advancement in your society, whatever. But a year of seeking after God. Maybe it's in the home. But there's clear things that need to be done. And so this morning, for the invitation, there could be a number of different things that you need to respond. You need to deal with, maybe you need to deal with sin, that which hinders revival. But I'm asking you to make a decision about clearly making this year a year of seeking after God. And if that's your heart, that's your longing, I'm going to ask you when the instruments begin to play to come to the front, to kneel here, take your time with the Lord. And folks, I'm not talking about, I don't want anything, just formal Christianity. I'm talking about coming into the very presence of God, making a real decision that is going to affect your home, affect the rest of this year and the rest of your life, and put you on a journey seeking after God. And if that's your heart, then when the instruments begin to play, you come forward and seek the Lord and make that decision before the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation time now. Lord, it's not good just to hear preaching. Lord, we've got to act on it. And Lord, I pray that you would stir in your people a heart and a hunger for God, for your presence. Lord, that's what we're seeking. And so I pray that you would help your people right now as they make decisions, Lord, to be very serious about this, to count the cost, and Lord, that they would desire your presence more than anything else and be willing to seek after God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's all stand to our